KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, we have sleet here in Atlantic, and it's 25 degrees. We look for the winter weather advisory to be in effect until 4 p.m. for Cass and most of our area counties, and until 1 o'clock this afternoon for the far west and southwest counties. Look for mostly cloudy skies with mixed precipitation this morning, such as we're seeing now. That would include snow, sleet, and freezing rain. Becoming partly cloudy this afternoon and warming up to around 36 degrees. Winds will be northwesterly at 20 to 35 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stiefel Investments. Well, Cumberland and Messina Rescue, along with Medevac Ambulance, were dispatched this morning to a single vehicle accident with injuries. The incident at 680th and Lansing Road, or about halfway between Wyota and Cumberland, was reported at 6:49 a.m. A female driver of a pickup complained of pain after the vehicle she was driving slid off the road and hit an embankment. No other details are currently available. Adams County Sheriff's Office reports two women from Corning were arrested on separate charges Thursday. Emily Higgins was taken into custody on two counts of child endangerment following a report at around 11:19 a.m. of two small children on the road in the block of 900 block of 8th Street in Corning. The incident remains under investigation. And Ariel Cookenham of Corning was arrested early Thursday afternoon for domestic abuse first offense following an incident in the 2000 block of Quincy Street in Corning. A narcotic search warrant was executed at her residence. The case remains under investigation. The Pottawatomie County Public Health Department Thursday reported another presumptive positive COVID-19 case. The total of presumptive positives for Pottawatomie County is six, two of which have recovered. Most recent case is a female between the ages of 61 and 80, a resident of Council Bluffs, who has pre-existing medical conditions with no recent travel and no identifiable contact with an existing case. Because the case is not traceable, public health believes it to be the result of community spread. The individual is currently self-isolating at home. Pottawatomie County Public Health is in communication with the Iowa Department of Public Health and is considering this case to be of no risk to the public. Additionally, all Pott County and City of Council Bluffs playgrounds have been temporarily closed. County and city parks remain open, but gatherings of more than 10 people are prohibited. Officials from the Pott County COVID-19 Response Task Force are urging people to stay home as often as possible when it's necessary to go out, practice your social distancing, and always stay 6 feet away from others. The task force would also like to publicly thank the Southwest Iowa Renewable Energy, or SIRE, in Council Bluffs for partnering with Pott County Public Health to make hand sanitizer available. Thanks to SIRE, they said 5,000 gallons of sanitizer, or Siretizer as it's called, will be distributed to hospitals, first responders, and city and county offices in Pottawatomie County. Siretizer will be available for purchase when small bottles become available. Health officials in Shelby County are reporting two additional Shelby County residents have tested positive for COVID-19, bringing the total number of cases there to five. The ages of the latest two individuals are a person between the ages of 61 and 80 and 181 years of age and older. Community spread of COVID-19 is occurring in Shelby County, and for that reason, Shelby County residents are encouraged to stay home, practice social distancing, avoid handshakes, wash hands frequently with soap and water, avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands. Always cover your coughs and sneezes with either a tissue or your elbow and upper arm. And if you have a fever, cough, or respiratory symptoms, you're asked to call ahead at 712-755-5130 in Shelby County and do not go directly to the emergency room or clinic. In other news, Griswold School District Superintendent Dave Henrick says the Griswold School Board will hold a special meeting Monday at 5:30 p.m., April 6th, for the following reasons: to approve, consider the approval of a new hire, to consider approval of a continuous learning plan, and to consider approval of a pandemic pay resolution. The meeting takes place in the Griswold Elementary School Library. The Iowa businesses that Governor Kim Reynolds ordered closed last month must remain closed during the month of April.
At this time, I am not ordering schools to close for the remainder of the school year. That said, it is also important that Iowa schools do their part to provide continuous learning opportunities for their students. And so many school districts have already taken the initiative to do just this.
The governor did order that school closures be extended through April 30th. Keeping Iowa students out of the classroom, she said, was a very difficult decision, but it remains necessary for now. School districts must submit their plans for virtual learning or plans for summer school to the state by no later than April the 10th.
There are a number of ways that schools can continue to engage students during this time, and it's each district's responsibility to do so.
Iowa Department of Education Director Ann Lebo says schools may have different plans for different grade levels, and the recommendation to close schools through April 30th was not made lightly, she said, and we know the challenges that this decision puts on our schools and families. Lebo says state officials understand that uniform consistent access to Wi-Fi is a barrier for online classes in some districts, and they're working with the governor, Iowa's AEAs, and other partners to coordinate efforts so resources are in place. In our funeral announcements, Mick Barringer, age 78 of Atlantic, died Wednesday at his home. Private family services for Mick Barringer will be held at the Atlantic Cemetery with a celebration of life at a later date. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. Visitation will be held at the funeral home today. Glenn Livingston, age 70 of Atlantic, died March 27th. Graveside services for Glenn Livingston will be today at 1:30 at the Atlantic Cemetery. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Gerald Hauser, age 91 of Griswold, died Monday. An open visitation for Gerald Hauser will be tomorrow from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. at the Recon Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Sandra Sue Shell, age 66 of Casey, died Wednesday at her home. Private services will be held for Sandra Shell, but a public visitation will take place on Monday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at St. John's Lutheran Church in Casey. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Adair is in charge of the arrangements. Mary Ellen Miller, age 86 of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Heritage House. Services for Mary Ellen Miller are pending at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. Ruth Sorensen, age 93 of Harlan, died Thursday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community. A memorial service for Ruth Sorensen will be at a later date with Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan in charge of arrangements. Ramona Larson, age 89 of Atlantic, died Wednesday in Mesa, Arizona. Funeral services for Ramona Larson are pending for a later date. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Florence Campbell, age 93 of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Exira Care Center. No public services are planned for Florence Campbell at this time. A private burial will be in the Monteith Cemetery. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. Aileen Bussey, age 79 of Carson, died Tuesday at the Nebraska Methodist Hospital in Omaha. Private family graveside services for Aileen Bussey will be held at the Carson Cemetery in Carson. Lus Hills Funeral Home of Carson has the arrangements. Millie Nelson, age 91 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Heritage House. Private memorial services for Mildred Millie Nelson will be held at the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. Jack Rupert, age 79 of Nevada, a native of Griswold, died November 1st. Graveside services for Jack Rupert were scheduled to be held tomorrow, but have been postponed due to the pandemic. Recon Funeral Home is in charge of the arrangements. David Olson Sr., age 79 of Panora, died Monday. Cremation has taken place. A celebration of life for David Olson Sr. will be held at a later date. Twig Funeral Home of Panora has arrangements. Kensley Railsback, age 2 of Guthrie Center, died March 25th at the Guthrie County Hospital. Cremation will take place, and a celebration of life for Kensley Railsback will be held at a later date. Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center has arrangements. Dorothy Grotolution, age 92, formerly of Audubon, died March 23rd in Fort Dodge. Cremation has taken place, and a celebration of life for Dorothy Grotolution will be held at a later date. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. The news was brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.